Hey everyone, and welcome to the Paint It Black podcast. I'm Pete Burke, and I cannot believe that was just our opening theme. And I especially can't believe the dance party that just ensued.
Yeah.
While that was
everybody.
All right, another summer spoiler edition of Paint It Black, and joined by my co-host Brian Katz.
Take your panties off.
Our movie buddy Justin Herman.
Oh my God, I'm back again.
You teased it before the show, and you delivered. So, yeah, we saw This Is the End today in theaters, and now it's time to spoil the shit out of it.
I can't wait. It was hilarious.
Initial thoughts, everyone? I love this movie. I thought it was hysterical.
I think, man, I'm just getting a smile on my face just about to talk about it, man. It was one of the better comedy movies I've seen in a while.
Really shot the shit out of Hangover 3. I'll tell you that.
Oh, not even close.
As, yeah. Like, the second comedy that we're reviewing this summer?
Oh, yeah.
This one steals it.
We say initial thoughts. This movie's been out for 48 hours. I've now seen it twice.
Oh, yeah.
So, well, I appreciate you doing that so that I could jump in there with you.
Well, the first time was my fault for Pete missing the movie, so we had to make up for it.
I don't blame you. I don't blame you. They were sold out. What can you do?
Yeah, who would ever thought on a Wednesday?
On a Wednesday night?
It's a good good testament to the movie's quality.
And it was great. And I got to say, in context, we saw it directly after Man of Steel.
Oh.
And there's no bigger switching of gears than going from Man of Steel to This Is the End.
Yeah, it's like one.
And it still made me so happy.
Today's has been a very good day of movies and podcasting.
Yeah. I will say, I did think it lagged a little bit, maybe in the middle. But overall, we have not stopped laughing about this movie since we left the theater.
Yeah.
It has so many good parts where you could just look at your friend who watched it with you and just say a line and you just like start laughing, man.
Now, do you think if you were like not if this starred Adam Sandler and all those other guys and not Seth Rogen?
Well, maybe Nick Schwartz can pull it off.
Here's the thing. That type of comedy with like Adam Sandler's not overtly dirty and like self-indulgent.
He's totally self-indulgent.
No. Like he's like, I'm so tough. When they're like, we're just better than everybody.
Oh, well, they play themselves in this movie.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
super exaggerated and like self-depreciating. Like, they made fun of each other.
I agree that they played themselves, but wasn't necessarily themselves.
Exaggerated versions. Yeah. Like they were making fun of the public's perception of themselves.
Exactly. Because I read about on Rotten Tomatoes, they were talking about an article, and apparently the role that went to Emma Watson?
Hermione.
Was supposed to go to Harry Potter.
To Daniel Radcliffe.
And he turned it down because the script was so bad. So they realized the script was bad and they changed it around. And in their rewrite, one of the big things they did was make Jonah Hill into like the nicest guy in the world. Whereas he was supposed to be a dick in the original
script. Preferred him the way they did it.
It was great as the way they made him.
I definitely preferred the way they did it.
So it's funny though because they play on these perceptions. It's like I thought like, yeah, this definitely could be the way these guys are in real life. And they were perfect at it. Like,
oh yeah,
it was so. And of course, you know, Danny McBride is not.
He's definitely
necessarily a savage, but he played it so. He was basically Kenny Powers,
yeah.
And he played it beautifully. And like
at this point, he keeps playing the same character.
Yeah.
I think it's Danny McBride.
I've heard so many interviews with him, and he seems like the most down to earth, like nice guy in the world, who just thinks it's funny to play the dick.
He's great at it.
Fucking
awesome at it.
Yeah, there's a thing I'll play afterwards of like Bill Hader telling a story about him after they filmed Hot Rod, and basically
Hot Rod, especially I forgot about that one.
They were in a limo. I'll tell you the abridged version, and of course this is not my story, but they're in the limo, and Danny McBride sparks up a joint, and the limo driver's like, "What are you doing? You can't do that in my car. You can't do that in my van. Get out, get out. If you're gonna do that, you have to get out." And Danny McBride looks at him and goes, "Fuck you." And he goes, not 2 seconds later, he goes, sorry, I'm being a dick. I'll get out. Like, he just couldn't resist doing that.
When you brought up Hot Rod, my favorite line in the Hot Rod was when Dan McBride's like, "I got a castle, and in my dreams, I got a castle, and I just find this dude, and I just keep punching him in the face constantly, and then I got 99 princesses, and I just fuck them."
Now, I say we start the plot. And please forgive us if we just start quoting this movie. This is a super quotable movie.
There's a ton of quotes in this.
It's very easy to just get lost in the jokes.
Absolutely.
I also, in the movie, I did like their choice of music to every scene because it's all like... Like, these guys, you figure, like, are a certain type of people, and every time they throw in a music, they threw in, like, Gangnam Style, and, like, obviously yeah. the Backstreet Boys song a couple of times. Yeah, yeah. Like, it was just totally out of their, like, element, I felt. It was just funny.
It was all, like, weird throwback stuff.
Yeah.
It was just great. I really enjoyed this. So let's do it. Let's tell the story of This Is the End, starring Seth Rogen, Jay Baruchel, Craig Robinson.
Everybody.
Dan
McBride. Aziz Ansari, Jason Segel.
Fucking everyone.
Girl from the office.
Mindy Cohen.
Mindy Kaling. Yeah. All right. So, the movie starts at an airport where Seth Rogen's waiting for Jay Baruchel to show up from Canada. They're old buddies, and he's spending the weekend or week, whatever, down in L.A. Yeah. to hang out with his good buddy. And, of course, they go back to Rogen's house where he's delivered a smorgasbord of all Jay's favorite things. Mainly Jay's joints that... In the shape of the word J.
He has some pop, some Starburst.
And that's where we first hear our Backstreet Boys song.
they play Backstreet's Back.
Fun little montage of them, you know, Indian wrestling with their legs and then smoking.
They may also hate the word pop. I mean, I hate the word pop.
I only said it because that's what he said.
I know it bothers me, though. It's like, I know, I fucking right? hate upstate New York.
It's a regional.
And Canada.
Like a weird regional thing. So after the initial celebration that, you know, Jay's in town. Seth decides to say, like, hey, man, why don't we go over to my buddy James Franco's house? He's having a party, which Jay doesn't want to go. He doesn't like Seth's new friends. You know, all these guys that we've come to love throughout their various movies. This is basically just a cast of Pineapple Express.
Yeah, basically. With all the real movies, it's like Knocked Up, Pineapple Express, yeah. All their movies, basically.
And great combination.
And what I love is they reference themselves yeah. in a funny... Like, when they're in the airport and Seth Rogen's walking through and the paparazzo comes up to him. He's like, do the laugh, man. Do the laugh.
Like, other than Dan McBride, I think this movie would have sucked if they were real characters. Like, if they weren't
they were
themselves.
Well, I was telling you guys before the show, like, they had to make conceits to, like, Seth Rogen's married. And he's like, I don't want to be married in this. I don't want my wife to die. And
so the themselves of themselves.
James Franco like, didn't want his brother in it because he didn't want his character to have to worry about his brother.
That's Danny his McBride, dick because his brother's like, can I be in the movie? Nah.
Danny McBride is married with like two kids or something. Of course he doesn't want them associated with the performance that he put in, especially considering his ending.
But he's perfectly fine when he's bounding down. So.
Well, I mean, he's not playing himself when he's bounding down.
He is Kenny Powers, though. I mean, but all right.
Well, the plot, we don't really have that much to go through, so let's tear it through. So they go to the party, and you know, everyone's drinking, doing drugs, having sex.
Michael Cera is doing cocaine.
Crazy amounts of cocaine.
Rihanna is there.
Copious amounts of cocaine.
Well, you got Jonah Hill. You got Christopher Mintz-Plasse, a.k.a. McLovin. You got Michael Cera. You got Craig Robinson. You got Kevin Hart. You got Aziz Ansari.
Jason Segel, if you could throw Kevin Hart, right?
Jason Segel. So many. At one point, Paul Rudd is there. Like, just people. There's just people. And they're all playing themselves.
Like, everyone from Freaks and Geeks was there.
Martin Starr. Yeah. Forget who I'm forgetting. There's so many people at this party, and they're all playing like these weird versions of themselves. And Michael Cera steals the fucking show.
The first 10 minutes is the Michael Cera movie.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like if this movie could have the movie was awesome. Don't get me wrong, but if this movie could have continued like as a non-apocalyptic movie in this like party scenario, I don't know. I might have died in the movie theater of laughter. Like,
Justin, that's what we said afterwards. We both like, could have used 15 more minutes of party footage.
It was so good. It was like
there was a couple of cool little things where like Christopher Mintz-Plasse, Jonah Hill, and Michael Cera all got together, and you had the whole cast of Superbad together.
Again. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that was kind of cool. And I loved how, I mean, spoiler alert, obviously.
Well, did we say that on the top? We're going to ruin the movie. So
what was it? Michael Cera, he's doing copious amounts of cocaine. He goes up to Chris Mintz-Plasse, who just got to the party. He's like, hey, does this cocaine smell weird? And blows a whole bunch of cocaine in his face.
I never did this drug. What are you doing?
And then in case you're not like hysterically laughing at this point, he then goes and says, oh, you got a little bit left over there, and sniffs it off of his face.
He has a mustache. He has a mustache, so it catches in his stache.
And of course, this is after he slaps Rihanna on the ass, gets punched.
Yells at Jason Segel, don't worry, we're just playing games, me and Rihanna.
Siegel's like, hey, don't. It's like, hey, we're just playing games over here.
And then is this before or after Jay Baruchel walks in on him in the bathroom getting
blown? This is before. This is before. He's still doing coke.
But he's getting blown and getting his asshole licked at the same time.
And then he takes like his Hawaiian punch and he says, like, sip it.
Capri Sun is a little foil pack. Thing is,
he points at the girl blowing him or something. He's like, she's best like, sip it.
Jay's standing there in the door and he's like, you need to use the toilet? Go ahead, sweetie.
And he's not to mention he's also wearing this like yellow windbreaker. It's like this ugly ass.
Who was throwing out the yellow windbreaker reference?
According to an interview I heard with Seth Rogen, like they went to Michael Cera with, like, "You okay playing this character, this version of yourself?" He's like, "Yeah, but my one condition, I gotta wear this windbreaker." And it's the ugliest fucking windbreaker. Yeah. I think that just enhances the comedy of it.
A lot of characters have interactions with each other that don't make it towards the rest of the movie. Like Siegel was talking to Kevin Hart about how he's sick about being on a TV show. Kevin Hart's just like, I love that. That's why you're number one.
Which I said a million times. I'm so happy they put the guy who's 6'3 next to the guy who's 5'4.
Yeah, they have a conversation. The tallest next to the shortest.
By the way, we skipped one of my favorite one-on-ones. Beginning of the movie when they're talking about gluten.
Oh, gluten. I forgot about the gluten.
He's all like, I'm on a cleanse. He's like, you don't even know what the fuck gluten is.
Seth and Jay in the car, and Seth is like, oh, I'm on this gluten-free thing. Gluten's like, you know, everything that makes you feel bad, like calories or gluten. And smash cut to them at a Carl's Jr.
We're just like, fucking love gluten.
Gluten!
Everybody's better than the next. So the whole point is that every time, what was his face, Jay comes into L.A., he doesn't like L.A., he stays with Seth. And Seth's like, yeah, just be me and you hanging out. And then Seth's like, basically, yo, Franco's having a housewarming party. Let's go. He's like, I don't like those guys. He's like, come on, man.
Yeah. He's trying to bring his old friend to his new friend.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So that's why they're at the party.
Yeah. That's
we get too excited. We skipped ahead too quick.
And that's where the headbutting comes in later on. But, you know, of course, they're at the party, and Seth is having fun, and they're singing, you know, Take Your Panties Off with Craig Robinson.
That was great when everyone
got Rihanna, take your panties off.
I love when they all gather around the piano, and he starts singing that. I was like, I never saw this comic act before, but apparently that's a song he does with Snoop Dogg.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
It's super funny. And everyone's singing along. Right. Meanwhile, Jay is like, not having
it. I want a cigarette.
He goes outside. He's smoking a butt. He's like, hey, guys, where can I get a...
That's another great scene.
Where can I get a cigarette, you know, pack of cigarettes? So, like, oh, four blocks that way. And he kind of bullies Seth to come with him.
We skipped the whole hipster scene.
The hipster. Well, we can't rehash every
Oh, man, but those are great.
But that's great. Craig Robinson and Emma Watson out at the pool talking to each other. And they're like, look at you. Like
this homeless-looking man walking up to us. Like,
Jay walks up and he's like... they're like, oh, you're like one of those hipster guys who doesn't like anything, right? It's like, no, that's not me. He's like, you probably love movies that are beloved. What'd you think of Forrest Gump? He's like, it's a piece of shit. He's like, no, dude, life is like a box of chocolates.
You never know what you're going to get.
And he's got a tear roll.
He's literally got like, honestly got a tear on his cheek.
I
got
to say, Craig Robinson was my favorite. I thought he was super funny in this.
Michael Cera, Jay McBride, it's tough. It's like...
This is a tough call.
I don't know. I don't think I have a favorite character. It's just that I have everyone's favorite line, how they deliver. It's just like Franco had so many lines, he delivered them so weird. It was so funny.
Because he was playing the weirdest possible James Franco.
Oh, and let's just say, for whatever reason, in Franco Franco's new house, he has an obsession with Seth Rogen. He has two paintings that says Seth Rogen and James Franco next to each other.
Yeah.
Like, he loves Seth Rogen.
And I should point out, because it comes back later, they start spitting back and forth ideas for Pineapple Express too. And Franco's like, what if Danny just kills me at the end? I give my life for you.
He eats me.
And then he eats me.
Yeah.
Like, why would he eat you? I'm just trying to think of the sickest way to go. At which point, you guys had seen the movie already, and I saw you tap Justin on the shoulder, and I was like, all right, Danny McBride's going to eat James Franco.
Oh, my God. At that moment, though, the next scene is the funniest moment in the movie, where Michael Cera blows the coke all up in that dude's face.
Yes.
Where we talked about it a second ago.
That is such a good shot.
Immediately follows that.
So the party's going strong.
So Seth and Jay, they head over to the convenience store. And while they're there, you know, they're cracking wise, making jokes.
Typical don't be a menace
register. What did Michael Cera's butthole look like? I imagine it looks like a pink donut with sprinkles. And the lady behind the counter is being a real bitch to this couple. And they go to buy their shit. And Seth, the stone dealer, won't buy it. Next thing you know, there's an earthquake. They all look around weird. And then beams of light shoot from the sky and start zapping people up into the sky.
I mean, if everyone's read the Bible, you realize the rapture is happening.
Now, I didn't know what the apocalypse was going to be going in. So I was between, is it aliens?
Yeah, same
or
thing.
Is it rapture?
Same thing. I didn't
Within
know.
Moments, I'm like, rapture. Second, we get the sinkhole. So they go running back to the party where, obviously, in a Hollywood party, nobody gets taken away in the rapture because they're all, you know, debauched.
They have no idea anything happened.
And Franco's adamant. It's like, this house is like a fucking fortress. Then the
explosion. And Seth Rogen betrays Jay at that moment also.
Oh,
Seth Rogen
right.
doesn't want to admit that it happened when he saw
I forgot that. He's like, people getting shot up in blue lights.
They kind of just pass over that.
And then Seth is just like, I don't know what you're talking about, man. And then explosions outside. They all run outside. And this is in the trailer.
And Franco's like, don't leave the fucking house. Don't leave my house. The house is safe.
And they see the Hollywood Hills are burning. They're all on fire. The Hollywood sign is falling. And a sinkhole opens in Franco's lawn.
Paul Rudd.
Okay. And they're all standing like, no! And then for no reason whatsoever, Paul Rudd runs up holding a giant bottle of champagne, just going, no, no, no!
Well, right before that happened, Michael Cera's talking about, like, someone call my cell phone.
Oh, that was
I lost my cell phone. Someone call it.
No. Which one of you dicks took my cell phone?
I wasted so much good cocaine on you guys.
Completely ignorant to, like, everything around him destroyed.
He's on fire. Yeah, he's so coked up, he doesn't know. And then a telephone pole smashes down, impaling him through the chest, picks him back up into the air. That was the other indication that this is something like supernatural going on.
What's happening?
But as he's impaled, he reaches into his pocket and pulls out his cell phone and goes, this is embarrassing.
And Michael Cera's role is over in the movie. Yeah. Now.
Gets swallowed up by the earth, opens the sinkhole, and this to me was probably the funniest sequence, the longest funniest sequence in the movie, where it's just all like these Hollywood celebrities falling to their doom. Rihanna falls.
Rihanna's the first to die, I think. Like, she just falls straight through.
Jonah Hill straight pushes Jay Baruchel into the pit. Craig Robinson's running by as Aziz Ansari is getting sucked down. He's like, I can't help you. You're already in the hole. It's too late for you.
It's over, Aziz.
Aziz grabs Kevin Hart, and Kevin Hart kicks him in the face until his arm rips off.
Paul Rudd steps on that girl's head from fucking Parks and Recreation.
He steps on Aubrey Plaza's face and mushes her eyeball out of her head.
Everyone's like, ah!
My favorite is when Jay Baruchel's in the pit, and he's trying to help up David Krumholtz, the Jewish
guy from Numbers.
You've Numbers, seen him in that's a great show, by the way.
You've seen him in a million things. He's trying to help him out, and he's holding on to the thing. He goes, I got you. I'll swing you up.
You can support my weight. You can support my
weight. You can support my whole weight, right?
My whole
I don't want to die. You can support all of my weight. I got you, bro. And he just lets go and falls.
Well, you were just laughing the entire time because I just kept laughing. You knew it was going to happen.
I love the fact that he kept saying my whole way. Because I knew the second he released his weight, and
he was going down. Just like, so I'm just like cracking up my eye, wait for it. And they drew it out for like a minute straight. And it was like, boom. He just falls to his death.
There was a lot of dialogue in between. Like, it was like a minute of dialogue. Like, you sure you can support my whole way? He's like, I got you, man. I won't let you go. It's like,
and you know he had this like tenuous grip on grass.
He's got one arm up on top of him.
And you're like, Jay's going to survive because he's the main character. This guy's just going to fall to his fucking doom.
Yeah, he's done.
So smoke clears. Everyone's dead except for our heroes. Seth Rogen, Jay Baruchel, James Franco, Craig Robinson. Who am I missing?
Jonah Hill.
You good?
Is that all of them?
Well, there's one in the bathtub we haven't.
Oh.
We haven't met him yet.
But there's actually a sleeping sequence.
Yes. I'm honestly like, at this point, I'm like, where's Danny McBride? And
but
Cass
first,
is like, he's coming.
They keep referring to Danny McBride. And that
at that moment they had, actually?
And that, and that Franco doesn't like him that much. They keep revealing that Franco is kind of sick of his bullshit, which it plays a major role in the movie. So they're all dead. They get back in the house and they take their inventory of supplies, which I love.
Because, you know, that was very Shaun of the Dead-esque.
Yeah.
I saw it on the trailer, though, so
no, but what they show in the trailer is an eighth of what they show in the movie. They just keep going through shit. They have four different strains of weed.
You know? I love when they start going to the drug. We got ounce of mushrooms. We got 12 hits of ecstasy. We got purple kush.
We got a bag of Captain Fantastic. And so they go through it. They have the fight over the Milky Way, which is classic. And that's a running theme through the whole thing. Jonah Hill's like, I got low blood sugar, so if I don't get a bite of the Milky Way, I'm going to be a nightmare to deal with.
Craig Robinson's like, I'm going to be honest with you guys, I'm going to be upset if I don't get at least a bite of the Milky Way.
Now, we should point out, too, the personality traits. Franco is kind of a snobby artist type.
Narcissistic, but loves Seth Rogen.
Seth Rogen is kind of a backstabbing stoner dude.
Yeah. He's very self-centered.
Very self-centered.
Jay's kind of fucking hipster-esque. He's a bit of a hipster dick.
Yeah. Know-it-all.
He's holier than that the whole movie.
Yeah.
Sadly, I saw more of myself in that guy. But Jonah Hill is overly nice.
But fake.
Yeah, he's compensating.
Like, he got it, yeah.
He's so full of himself, but he's compensating. He's being too nice to like guys like Jay Baruchel and all that.
And Danny McBride is...
Well, he's not even there yet. We're not even there.
No, we're still...
We're not even to our villain. He's essentially the villain.
But come on. He's Danny McBride.
I know. And he's wonderful in this. And Craig Robinson is your lovable teddy bear. Like, he really doesn't do anything to piss off anybody, but he's so flabbergasted by everything all the time.
He's not a token black guy.
Plus, he delivers like four or five
Not at all. Like, he's more great.
I'm saying he delivers four or five great yells in the movie. Like, he has the... Like, every time he gets in trouble, he's always like... Ah!
When they send him out to get the... We'll get to it.
Or the Jonah Hill scene where he's running after him in flames.
He's so funny to me because he's such a big dude, and that was the best line. He's just like, "We're not hard. We're actors. We're soft as baby shit.
So we play hard." And then was it Jonah Hill delivers a good line where he's basically like, "What are we gonna say first? The actors. It's gonna be George Clooney, Sandra Bullock, me. And then maybe they have time. You guys."
Like, he's got an Oscar nomination, so he's so full of himself. That permeates throughout the whole movie too. So they go through their supplies. They set up a rationing system. You know, they're going to split everything in fifths. And they decide they're taking all the artwork, much to Franco's chagrin, and they're going to board everything up, which is also another scene because they don't have any hardware. They have no tools. So they're duct taping the giant crack in the wall, which was placed there by a helicopter that crashed into the fucking house.
Grabbing giant dick statues.
Giant dick statues.
I was like, yo, I got this big dick.
I'm breaking this big dick right now.
They go to put the Seth Rogen painting and the James Franco painting, and Franco stops and he's like, no, take mine, leave Seth's. They board everything up, and they go to sleep. But they all end up in the same bed, essentially.
Because they all have their like moment of solace where they're like sleep, try to get to sleep, and they hear the fucking horrors going on outside that I can't sleep.
Except for Franco. He's passed out. He's got noise-canceling headphones.
He's got that lucid dreaming shit on. Yeah,
he's got the sleep mask. He's got a gun with him. Like, yep. And they all end up.
Did we miss the gun scene where Seth's pointing the gun?
No, we did miss that.
That's right where they're talking about all the things.
That was one of the funniest parts of the movie. That was Jonah Hill's moment, right there.
Yeah.
Where they have a gun with certain
from
amount of
Flyboys.
From Flyboys,
and that's the thing too. He keeps all his props. And that's like an ongoing thing in the movie where he always keeps his props.
Franco has every prop from every movie he's done.
Yeah, and in the breakdown, he also says that, the camera from 27 hours. Like, 127 hours. Like,
oh, okay.
127.
Oh, yeah, the camera from 127 hours actually plays a part doing the confessionals.
Yeah.
But the best part's when Jonah Hill's like, picks up the gun and he's just like, oh, this is fun. Bang! 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 He's being super gay about it.
And he's pretending to shoot everybody and everyone's freaking out when the gun's being banged at
honestly,
them.
I was watching it though, because the whole time I'm thinking, he's going to shoot someone. Like, it's just going to happen.
I thought he was
going
to put a bullet in his own head.
And then he puts it in his mouth. I'm like, oh my God, he's going to shoot himself.
This was not the kind of movie where you would put it past them.
Yeah, that
they
just
would
do it. Just
kill off a major character. Because we just saw Hollywood die.
Who cares? It's like, it's one comedian out of the 40 in it. Like.
Exactly. And we just saw Michael Cera get impaled on a telephone pole. It's not out of the realm of possibilities. So they all end up in the same bed. They're all, you know, they sleep through the night. And then a mysterious figure wakes up the next day out of the bathtub.
Blowing smoke out of the bathtub.
Pissing all over the toilet.
All you see is smoke rings at first. And it's Danny McBride, who showed up to the party and passed out early in the bathroom.
Wasn't even invited.
And he takes every one of their supplies and makes a smorgasbord of breakfast. And when the rest of them wake up, they are super pissed off at him. Like, what are you doing? Don't you know what's going on?
And they have to explain to him that the fucking apocalypse is happening. Something terrible. They don't know the apocalypse yet. Something terrible is happening.
He just doesn't believe
them. All they know at that point, realistically, is a 9.5 earthquake.
Yeah.
So they're waiting for rescue.
And this just cues Danny McBride being awesome. Like, he just starts making fun of all of them.
Just being, Seth Rogen's like, it's bad out there. It's the end of the world. Yeah. And he's like, that's good. Where was that performance during Green Hornet?
Or James Franco's got cum on his mouth. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's brushing his
teeth. Now I know you're lying.
Now, if Franco didn't blow anybody, now I know you're lying.
Michael Cera's dead. He's like, at least it wasn't a total loss.
So the one thing that convinces Danny McBride to take this whole thing seriously is a stranger busts into the room.
Oh, my God. Seems great.
Dude busts in. His name, I know his name.
That guy's in...
He's in a lot of things.
Or he's basically, he's like, you let me in because...
Brian Husky. His name's Brian Husky.
He's like, it's crazy out here. Let me in, please. I've been knocking. Let me in. And then James Franco turns around.
And the guy's pulled outside Sans head. And his body's gone. But the head just is rolling around, which cues the funniest soccer match ever.
Danny Bryan's like, this is real. This is totally real.
And they're so freaked out by the severed head on the floor, they just start batting it around with their feet.
And Jonah Hill picks up. He's like, we're not playing soccer with his head. And he blinked at me. He blinked.
And it pours blood all over him, too. So now Danny McBride's in the crew.
Did we say he wasted all the food?
Yeah. He wasted all the food on this big breakfast. And he's eating the bacon while they're trying to pull it out of his mouth. Completely ignorant of everything.
Until he's like, I'm sure the Green Goblin can get more food.
First of all, we cannot do justice to these jokes, I want to say, so go see the goddamn movie.
Yeah. Right. I'm not even going to attempt to do their voices.
Yeah, like, you know, these guys are great. These guys are what they are. I mean, this is what they do.
Yeah, and the following sequences from this point on are really just a string of funny parts.
Survivor-esque, like with the video.
Yeah, they're doing video confessionals. The first confessional is Franco going, I really hate Danny. I don't want him here. I don't know why he's here. And Danny is standing in the doorway.
He just sneaks into the doorway and listens.
What you doing?
He's going, I don't want this guy in my house. He's
doing all... McBride leaves after it, and he's like, I fucking hate that guy.
Also, they decide to do all the drugs in the house, which is a funny scene.
Exactly, when they get Jay.
Jay's just drinking up some pop, whatever, and he's like, well, I don't want to do drugs. Like, well, you shouldn't drink a whole soda pop full of ecstasy.
Yeah.
They're having
Gangnam Style.
Cute Gangnam Style. Gangnam Style, yeah.
And they're having lightsaber fights with the lamps. They're bar mitzvah dancing, like doing the chair thing with fucking Jay.
They go nuts.
The other scene is they're right after that, they're still fucked up, and they make a... I'll call it a sweeted version after Be Kind Rewind of Pineapple Express 2.
Oh, my God. They make the sequel to Pineapple Express, but like a low-budget one.
Yeah.
Jonah Hill is Woody Harrelson. Yeah.
Oddly enough, Craig Robinson did not get in on that.
No, he did. He was driving the car that Danny McBride was in.
Was he? In the fake movie?
The toy car, yeah.
I don't remember him in there.
He was driving the toy car. Well, he died in the first one.
That's what I figured, but I figured that wouldn't stop them.
No. He was driving Danny McBride's car. He was like Danny McBride's like henchman.
Oh, okay. I missed that. But the rest of them were all around there. That made me laugh my ass off, especially because they released that clip of the movie on April Fool's Day as a trailer.
Oh, really?
I didn't know that.
My sister called me up. Pineapple Express 2!
Like last April Fool's Day?
This past April Fool's Day. That's awesome. And then you watch it, and it's like, this looks like a really low-budget movie. And then it's them sitting around singing that M.I.A. song.
Now they're on.
Like, so, all I want to do is...
Who directed and produced this movie? Was it
Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg directed.
So, they who produced? I'm assuming they probably produced it also. I mean, if they... Seth Rogen doesn't direct most of this. Like, you know...
Okay,
Adam Sandler produces most of his stuff.
This is impressive. Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg, writing partners.
Okay.
Directed by Evan and Seth. Produced by Evan and Seth.
Nice.
Screenplay by Evan and Seth. Like story it. By Evan and Seth.
I like it.
Starring Evan. Seth, I mean. Evan as a cameo. He's in the party scene. So
this dude's off camera. Who is this Evan dude?
He's Seth Rogen's writing partner. They wrote Superbad together.
So he just never, ever gets on.
He's not an actor. He's a writer.
Oh, well, another funny thing was when they were making their movie, was it Pineapple Express 2, like from the guys who brought you Superbad and Pineapple Express.
Pineapple Express 2, Red's Revenge or something.
Yeah, it was something like...
Red's Dawn.
Red Dawn or...
Red's Dawn.
I loved it when they were showing where he's like, I got all this weed for you guys. I've been this good to you. So you must kill Woody Harrelson or whatever. And then they just grab all the coke and they throw it in his face.
Yo, and honest to God, like, they had the actual outfits from the movie. Like, yeah. Franco's dressed up just like his character and same thing with
all
Seth.
Yeah, they're in the exact outfits because Franco saves all his
all
gear.
All stuff.
He's doing the worm and everything.
Yeah.
So at this point, too, they're also introducing all the different conflicts. Seth and Jay are on the outs. They're fighting. Franco doesn't like Danny McBride, and back and forth.
And Jay hates everybody, including Jonah Hill, especially.
Yeah. And especially Jonah Hill. And Jay offers up his assessment of the situation. He's been reading the Bible.
He's actually the only guy he's cool with is Craig Ferguson. He's like
Robinson.
Craig Robinson. He's the only guy that is mutually cool with everybody.
Yeah,
Jay.
No, Craig Robinson.
Oh, Craig Robinson. He's like the neutral dude. Yeah, he doesn't get on anybody's nerves, really.
Which kind of made me think about the plot of the movie. That was one little plot, though. A later plot flaw was that he saves Jay in that scene later on.
In the neighbor's
house. In the house with the demon, and he doesn't get raised into heaven.
Oh, damn.
So that was selfless.
That's a good point.
So why...
But it may be why he was the first to ascend later.
Yeah, it could be. It built him into the...
Again, you shouldn't be listening to this anyway. You haven't seen the fucking thing, so...
But yeah, I thought about that.
I'm going to jump back to where I was, though, when he's showing them the Book of Revelations and everything, and they get the diagram of Satan.
Yeah, well,
which
great.
Is the Satan at the end of the movie.
Yeah.
And Colin Ferguson's just like... Craig Ferguson's
I've seen that
like,
before.
That guy's in the Wild Things.
That's where the Wild Things are.
Yeah. Now, we'll jump forward a little bit where... They hear a crashing at the front door. Someone's trying to get in. And who bursts in? Emma Watson.
Fucking Hermione.
Hermione Granger from the Harry Potter films. And
with a fucking
she's looking fucking sexy, though.
She's a good-looking girl, man. 20 years of
I mean, now
niceness.
Now it's okay to say that.
No. I felt weird when she turned 18, but now she's like 20-something. I'm like, yeah, I'm okay with it. I would have let her in the house. I'd share my food. But actually, that leads
one of the best... parts of
it leads
the
into the coming joke where they welcome her in. She's got a fire axe as a weapon. She's been battling it out for days. They welcome her in with open arms. James Franco takes her upstairs, gives her a bed to sleep in, and they're all like, all right, she'll rest up. And then the whole group is standing outside the door having this conversation about, like, maybe we should address the elephant in the room here.
Did everyone else, like, as soon as he said that, like, agree with the elephant? As soon as James Franco was like, go take him a room, James Franco was going to bang that girl. Like, that's essentially what went through my mind. And as all the actors are all like, what elephant?
To be honest with you, like...
No, that's one of the best lines.
That didn't run through your mind?
To be honest with you...
You didn't think he was... Or Mackie was going to rape? Like,
No.
Really?
Because you're a sick man.
I don't know. As soon as said it, I was like, clearly that's what he's indicating.
No, it's like she just got there. It wasn't like 2 months after she was there.
No, I was under the impression they were all friends. Because they were at the same party, and she went back there. She went back there for safety. So, of course, the thought crossed my mind of like, oh, this may lead to sexual tension of some sort, but never the rapiest. Of sexual.
And it was funny because the most pompous dude of everybody is Jay, and he's the only one who brings up, and everyone's like, yeah, she's got perfect situations, like having a little sister. It's like five, six older brothers. And it's like, yeah. And then Dan McBride's like, I can't wait to ask her about all those questions about Harry Potter.
I love those films. I can't wait till she wakes up. I'm going to ask the shit out of those questions for her. About, like, the making of those films.
And then he's like, we got just the elephant room. And then he's like, that's fucked up about Craig. And then he's like,
that's racist, man.
They go through like 8 different jokes, and then he's like, you know. And then Dan McGrath finally was like, yo, he's talking about raping her.
And they have the whole big roundabout conversation about, why are we talking about rape? Which one of us would rape? Well, Danny looks like he's
James Franco's all like, yo, if anybody's a raper, it's going to be Danny.
And Danny's like, yo, Jay looks like the art description of a raper.
Oh, and of course, she overhears it because they're outside her fucking door.
And she still has the axe that she entered the house with.
She charges out, swinging this fucking axe, trying to kill him. And it pretty much just cuts away with her taking all their shit.
Yeah, but first she chops up the giant penis statue with the axe, and they're all like, whoa!
Give her all the stuff! Give her all the stuff! And then Darren Brown's like, yo, we just got robbed by Hermione.
And the only reason Jay brought up the rape thing is because he was about to be the house bitch about a minute later.
Yeah, he's like, Danny Rice says that shit to the confessionals.
Yeah. Now let's get into the water trip. So they're out of water. There's no running water. Franco's got some bottles in the basement, and they all draw straw. Well, they draw matches. Whoever takes the lit match, like the burned match, has to go around the house to the storm cellar, get in the basement, and grab the water bottles. Craig Robinson pulls a short straw. My initial thought was, oh, don't kill the black guy first. And what was that?
That shit is racism, man.
Nothing.
All right. So he goes outside. This was actually kind of a cool shot because he's wearing an extension cord around him so they can pull him back in.
He's like, it was a McBride's like, honestly, you kind of heavy. I don't think we can pay back in.
Don't tell me that kind of shit.
Craig goes around the house, can't get the door open. He's freaking out because everything's on fire, always, in this movie.
Oh, outside is fucked up. It's like smoky.
I mean, it's the fucking Judgment Day.
This is one complaint I had with the movie, is I wish they were outside the house a little more. Because 75% of the movie's in the house.
But you know what?
Just a few guys. And it's fine. It still works, but I wish they had the budget.
I'll say I agree with you because the last 15 minutes of the movie were awesome when they're outside the house. So
exactly,
like
my point.
The first 15 minutes before the apocalypse were awesome, less than awesome. I mean, I like the middle. The middle was awesome,
The
too.
Middle's full
but
of funny.
But it's like they clearly were able to pull off the outside thing, so they could have done that longer.
Yeah, they spent a lot of time in the house. That was my one complaint about the movie. That's it. That's all I got.
That's fair.
So he goes around the house. Something comes after him. He has the greatest scream in the movie. What? They can't pull him in because they dropped the cord because they're idiots. They were getting rope burned, so they all drop it. Craig comes running back in the house, and something grabs the cord from outside and starts pulling him out. And this was one of my other favorite moments. They're trying to cut the cord, and Jay's like, Jonah, throw me the knife! And Jonah throws a kitchen knife at him, which stabs him in the fucking leg.
I mean, it fits for later where Jonah like hates him because of what he does to him.
Yeah.
But like Jonah was a dick to him, like unintentionally. Jonah was a dick to Jay the entire movie. He pushed him down a hole. He throws that knife in his leg. Well, that dude deserves what he got.
That was the whole gag, is that he's such a dick to him, but to his face, he's the sweetest man in the world.
But I don't think it was intentional when he was dick to him. Like, he didn't mean to throw a knife at him.
No, he didn't mean to.
Throw him down the hole, but like
fucking kitchen knife into his leg. But they end up saving Craig. And James Franco's freaking out. It's like, oh, we're so close to the water. It's literally like right below us. Yeah. Like right here below us.
If we were downstairs, the water would be right there.
Cue funniest scene in the movie.
They're slowly chipping away.
And Danny McBride with James Franco.
And the porno mag.
Yes.
We're talking about the penthouse here.
Well, they take like the bottom of a chair that you sit at a desk, and then a baseball bat, and they're just trying to chip away at the first floor of the building into the basement.
Yeah.
And it's just like fool's errand. It's like almost like a fool's errand. It's like takes forever.
Oh, it's ridiculous. It takes them days. And they're taking, like, shifts one after the other. And Danny McBride puts it best, where he's like, I'm thirsty. I'm too thirsty to keep going. But ironically, I can't get a drink until I finish this shit. And they chip it away. And then Franco shows up with a Penthouse magazine that he had. And they have the single best conversation in the movie about how he's beating off, Danny McBride beat off all over the magazine.
Danny McBride came into the magazine and Franco lost his shit over it.
It's like, it's 2013, you have iPads built into your walls, and you're still beating off like a pilgrim.
And he's like, I love what Franco's just like, why would you come into the magazine? He's like, I can't help it. I just have to hold it, and hope it doesn't go into your eyes or mouth.
Eyes or mouth.
Yeah. And he's like, didn't you have brothers? Like, you didn't learn how to fucking jerk off?
Like, grew up in a house of sisters.
He's like, you can jerk off into a napkin or a sock? He's like, no, I grew up in a house of women. It's like, I'm sure as hell sure they didn't fuck you, teach you how to jerk off like that. And then they just jerked off at each other for like a minute.
I jerked off over your house, Franco.
Yeah, they're grabbing things like, this is my dick and I'm jerking off on you.
So I'll jerk off all your walls, all over everything.
Well, I'll take this gun and I'll shoot your dick. It's like, you don't got enough bullets, Franco.
And then the other line that I thought was super funny was, Danny's like, that's it, I'm done, I'm walking away. And Rogan is like sitting there in the little pit that they've been. He's like, it's not, you can still turn around. He's like, no, I've walked way too far to turn back now.
Exact Danny McBride kind of line.
Like, it was a Kenny Powers line. You know, it reminded me of like the first episode of Eastbound and Down, where it's like, I'm sorry, I would lower my voice, but that would be admitting I was wrong. So I'm just going to keep on yelling until I walk away.
So Jay comes back, and he's like, all right, I'll have a moment with Seth here, and they start digging.
They start having, you know, trying to reconnect the friendship. It's been a little strained, and the floor just straight up gives out under them. Mm-hmm. And they both go collapsing into the basement, which Rogan's like, I broke my ass, or whatever, and they start looking for the water, which led to another funny like little callback to Franco's collection.
Yeah.
Where they both think that there's something in the basement with them, and it's just a cardboard cutout of the Green Goblin.
I thought it was going to be like the real Green Goblin or something.
No, it was just a cardboard cutout.
It was like him with his disfigured like face.
From Spider-Man 3.
Yeah.
It's a cardboard cutout from Spider-Man 3.
So they
managed... Did you see the hand, by the way, from 127 Hours in there?
Oh, was it? I didn't notice that.
They had the arm from 127 Hours that they cut off.
I missed that. That would have been good. That's great.
I just got that. That's what that was.
There was an arm. There was an arm and a thing.
You know what it really honestly looked like? It looked like the in Dexter from the ice cream truck killer.
Yeah, same thing.
It looked like that.
From the ice truck.
Yeah.
I'm going to go, when this comes out, like finally, and I can pause it, I'm going to watch and look for
I want to see what actors were in like the scenes.
In
like,
the party in the scene. Yeah. I want to see what memorabilia Franco saved, because there was a lot of
there's a ton of Easter eggs in this movie.
Ton of Easter eggs. Yeah. And I've seen I would say most of James Franco's movies at this point,
basically. Yeah.
I would like to see like what I could pick. I'm sure there's like a pumpkin bomb or something there.
Sure, the Green Goblin can afford some more water.
So they find two
jugs that you put into a water cooler. Yeah, that's what they find.
Two water cooler jugs of water,
and they're having dinner, and they're all enjoying their martini glasses of water. And then Danny McBride decides to go for seconds, and they all yell at him because he's being selfish. Of course, they got a ration, and of course it doesn't go well because McBride plays the ultimate version of McBride. Like,
he's not even...
He's Kenny Powers.
He's not even fucking mad that he can't have a second glass of water. It's just that they told him that he couldn't have a second glass of water.
And that he weighs significantly more than Jay Baruchel. Yeah. So he should get significantly more water.
It's a fair argument, really, when you think about it.
As the smallest guy in this room, it's not.
I mean...
Okay?
I'm just saying.
If it ever came down to it, I'm shorter than both of you.
Bro, you're like 2 minutes away from being the bitch.
I'm going to go fuck EJ. all right, so. I'm sorry. I just got distracted.
I gave him an invisible high five for calling EJ a bitch.
Okay. So now they're all against Danny McBride. And they wake up the next day and they decide we're voting him off the island, essentially. Which was super funny because Danny McBride is wearing James Franco's tuxedo.
For whatever reason, he got into the tuxedo.
He just got a tuxedo.
But my favorite thing is like, Franco delivers a line when he talks to Rogan. He's like, yo, he's got to go. He's got to go.
He stole our water two times.
He's got to go. For whatever reason, he delivers this line like that.
Tuxedo line made me crack up, too. And he flashed him in a tuxedo.
He's like, yo, he's gained weight since he's been here.
So they have the big kind of voting off thing where McBride kind of gives his spiel on how he's sorry and everything, but he'd rather leave than be forced to put up with this. Yeah. And they're all sympathetic to him. And he goes, will you at least give me something so I can survive out there? And Franco hands him the gun, and he promptly attempts to shoot everybody in the room in the face.
Yo, it was so funny because he's like, right when Franco handed him the gun, he was like, I knew he's going to turn on him, right? And it's like, pop, 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 pop. And everyone's like, ah!
Of course, the gun is a prop, so it doesn't actually fire bullets. But now he's really cemented his place as an asshole, and he disappears into the mist, waving the bird at him.
Before he does that, he tries to turn it on him.
So you guys were going to send me out there without a real gun?
It's like, you just tried to kill us.
Yeah. It's also worth noting right after this that Jay Baruchel staying in the attic, and Craig Robinson visits him up there to talk. And they hear about, this might have happened before, actually.
It was before Baruchel went to help out Rogan to get the water.
Yeah. And pretty much Craig Robinson is now like on board with his theory that it's the apocalypse, the biblical apocalypse. Which, again, kudos to two Jewish writers for writing a New Testament apocalypse story, even as a comedy.
Also, McBride calls out Jay on the whole, he was in L.A. before.
Oh, yeah.
That, he calls out everyone all their shit.
Yeah, he calls everyone all their shit again. He, the second
his
time,
insults are so priceless.
He just calls Jonah Hill a cunt.
Yeah. I forgot what he called Rogan.
Taint. He called one of them a taint.
Yeah, he's like,
but it was a sanctimonious taint.
Yeah. You're a sanctimonious taint.
He called Craig, is it?
Yeah, he's
backstabbing bastard.
No, he's just like, bro, you didn't have my back. I'm just disappointed. He's like, I'm just disappointing you, Craig. You didn't have my back.
And his insults, we can't do them justice.
Yeah.
I mean, that scene alone is hilarious. If you like Danny McBride, you're going to love that part.
Classic Danny McBride. And he, like you said, descends into the smoke.
Both times that and when after the breakfast scene. Both scenes are just classic right. Danny McBride.
I mean. And it's also, there was a point that I was trying to make here. So Danny McBride leaves. So Craig Robinson is on board with Jay Baruchel.
So Seth Rogen now.
And Danny, before he leaves, has revealed that Jay was in L.A.
like
two months prior, without
visiting Seth.
And begged him not to tell Seth Rogen that he was in town because it would kind of break their agreement that he would always stay with Seth. So now those two are at odds. Now the whole group is kind of at each other's throats.
Wait, as Danny McBride leaves, he throws the multiple fingers back up. I'm leaving on my own fruition.
That night, Jonah Hill lies down to go to sleep.
Remember, he says, he's like, dude, after that whole thing has been revealed, right? Also, when that gets revealed that Baruchel dicked over Seth, fucking Craig Robinson's like,
oh, that was the best.
And then Jonah's like, I was a huge Jay supporter. Jay, that's fucked up, Jay.
And then Jay punches him in the mouth.
And that leads to this.
That leads to Jonah Hill laying in bed going, dear God, it's me, Jonah Hill. From Moneyball. Basically praying for Jay to be murdered violently and go to hell.
It's like, what were you doing that day, right?
Which leads to, for me, the most uncomfortable scene in the movie.
Gets raped by a demon. Titty fucked. Gets titty fucked.
Oh, we forgot the titty fuck jokes.
The titty fuck.
Oh, man.
Seth Rogen, as an obese child, is deathly afraid of getting titty fucked because he was as a kid. So that comes up a lot in this movie. There's a lot of threats of titty fucking. Even when Brian Husky shows up through the door, and they're like, how do we know you're not a killer? I didn't know you won't titty fuck us.
Yo,
like, you want a titty? You want me to titty fuck?
I will. It'll be shit
so
out of you.
Good.
I'll titty fuck the shit out of you.
So Jonah wakes up to essentially a demon touching him and shit. And you see the demon has a monster hard on.
Monster penis.
It's fucking thick as a brick.
And black as night.
BBC. Straight BBC.
And it cuts the next morning to Jonah sitting in front of the confessional camera going,
he doesn't say anything for about a minute. Yeah, he just quiet, sits in front of the camera.
It's like, bad shit went down last night. And then it cuts out. That's it.
Oh, he's like, I had some uncool dreams.
Oh, yeah. It was uncool.
Which then flashed to another one of the most hilarious scenes in the movie where
the piss drinking?
Where he's like I had to drink my own piss last night. It's fucking delicious.
And then Rogan sitting down in front of the camera, butt naked, and you're like, what the fuck is he doing? You see, he's like off camera unzipping his pants, and he's just like kind of looking down, and then you just see a stream of piss into his mouth. As he's desperate to try to drink his own piss.
So not that the movie needs continuity, but like, why would he video fucking confess that? Like,
valid. Valid argument.
It's like, I'm going to go piss in my mouth. I better record it.
But it does, in fact, lead to the next scene where they decide that somebody's got to go next door to Franco's neighbors' houses.
And they do the same
They do the match thing. And Rogan pulls the burnt match.
Last.
No,
last.
But Franco, he's like, no! Not Seth!
He actually, he also did it earlier in the movie when... Damn it, I keep forgetting his name.
Sorry, I hit the mic.
Craig.
And Craig draws it. And he's like, Craig, there are a lot of other people in this room I'd rather have drawn this straw than you.
Yeah. And he points at Danny McBride. Yeah.
But this time, Seth is left holding it. And he actually just goes, I'm opting out. I'm forfeiting my.
No, just not. Fuck that.
What are you doing? What do you mean? I'm not fucking doing it.
Yeah, it's like the great realistic point of the movie. It's just like, if you drew it, would you do it?
Yeah.
I don't know.
So then Jay on his high horse goes, yeah, I'll do it. I'll do it. Fine. And Craig, seeming like a good guy, is like, I'm going to go with you, man. You got skinny little bird arms. You can't hold anything.
You can hold enough stuff to feed a hamster.
Yeah, you couldn't hold enough food to feed a hamster. So it's now Jay and Craig going next door to find some supplies, which they do. But during that time, while they're over there, things start happening to Jonah. He starts passing out and turning gray and all weird and like dribbling black fluid from his mouth.
In the apocalypse, it's basically like if you get titty fucked by a demon, you get possessed.
First of all, he was not titty fucked. He was titty straight fucked. Raped.
No. They didn't show any fucking. You're implied straight up butt rape.
Yeah, he was.
No, because if you remember, like you could see the demon mount in him, and then like you saw
giant
him.
You
saw
cock.
Like his like no, you saw him like almost like mount his chest.
You really? Saw him just crawl on top.
I think he got raped.
I think he titty fucked.
I think this scene is open to interpretation. I enjoy the innocence of the titty fucking over what me and Justin are picturing.
Jonah Hill. No, because you remember he's like. He's like he's just looking at the scratches. He wasn't like his assholes hurt him. He's like, I
think I may have pictured mouth rape more than anything.
I was talking about straight up titty fucking because that was the whole joke the whole time.
But Rogan was the one afraid of titty fucking.
Rogan was deathly afraid of it.
Not Jonah Hill.
Yeah, but a titty fucking was there the whole time.
Jonah Hill said, "I'm gonna titty fuck you," but that was later.
Yeah. Well, now we get into a simultaneous action scene because we got Jay and Craig in one house and we got Rogan and Franco in the other. Jay and Craig are running from a demonic bull.
Before that happens, they get into the house, and Jay's just like, "Okay, man, we'll split up and we'll get some. We'll cover more ground that way." And then Craig Ferguson is like, "Okay, Robinson's like, fucking, it's not Scooby Doo, motherfucker.
Scooby Doo.
Yeah, it's like we're gonna go right to the kitchen and we're gonna get food. Yeah.
Getting away from the comedy. Anybody think this had you ever seen the movie The Mist?
Yeah.
Did it have a The Mist feel?
Very
to it?
Very much so. Yeah, right, don't leave the house. Don't go outside.
Yeah,
there's
like crazy things
in
out
the mist.
There. Yeah,
very mist, actually. Yeah. Because even when they go outside, you can't see shit. It's all smoky.
Yeah, absolutely. Same concept.
Like, oh, actually, you just blew my mind right there.
Well, that's a Stephen King thing, so, but.
That's a nice nod, though. That's good. So they fill up on supplies, and then a demon bull, looks like a bull, busts into the house, starts chasing.
You know what kind of reminds me of? That shit in Ghostbusters.
Yeah, very much so. Like the
Rick Moranis Sigourney Weaver thing they turned into.
I forgot the name. The dogs.
Oh yeah, the Hellhounds.
From Ghostbusters. Very much like that.
Gargoyle
like, thing. I gotta say, at this moment in the movie, I'm very impressed with the effects of that monster.
Yeah, absolutely.
That monster looked good.
They honestly, because they're all friends, and there wasn't that much money given to them to make the movie. They blew their whole load on the special effects of these scenes.
It reminds me.
Yeah, but the monsters, like when they're falling in a pit, the effects kind of suck. It looks like blue screen. Like, it doesn't look like they're falling down a pit.
That's what I'm saying. They blew their whole load at the last quarter of the movie.
I remember I listened to an interview with Kevin Smith. It was maybe, like, his comedy tour, where he was talking about, like, the rapture at Red State. He really wanted to film the rapture at the end of it. But he's like, it would have cost me $20 million to film 5 minutes of a film.
Yeah, it would have been a $2 million ending to a fucking, fucking $50,000 movie.
As like, a guy who just did an animated music video... Like, personally animating everything.
It can get up there
somehow. It can get up there because you don't realize. You're like, oh, you got 45 seconds to fill. That's 4 months of work. Like, that was just my silly little shit. So, yeah, I imagine it. So, back to the main house, though, to Franco's house. While they're being chased by the bull in the other house, Franco and Rogan are being chased by demon-possessed Jonah Hill. Who...
The hiding in the closet scene.
The
was
puking.
Just,
the puking, man.
Yo, stop breathing so hard through your mouth.
Stop breathing so hard through your nose.
He finally starts alternating. He's like.
He's just breathing hard through both at that point.
But don't forget, he pukes all over.
Little, feed the food through him like a crow or whatever.
Chewed
up in your mouth and spit it out.
That was the thing. The first thing, he passed out because of low blood sugar. So they run for the Milky Way.
And they finally open up that Milky Way.
And that's one of the funniest moments with, like, chew up and spit it in his mouth like a bird.
It tastes so good.
And they start chewing it and they just swallow. They're like, oh, it's so good. Milky Way must have sponsored this movie. Because I wanted nothing more.
There's about a million tours.
I stopped for a Milky Way, by the way.
Really?
On my way home. I stopped and got a Milky Way.
It took Pete a while to get to that movie, so I could see him on the way home.
They I hit traffic, dude. I went the back roads because I needed gas. Bad idea. Anyway, so they are being chased by demon-possessed Jonah Hill. And then, what's his name? Jay and Craig manage to evade the bull, like you said before, Justin, because of Craig's selflessness and, you know,
he jumps at him and he crashes through a window and they're
right
out
before
of
the thing eats him alive.
Yeah.
And they go back to the main house where Jonah's chasing him around, and Jay just doesn't hesitate to beat him savagely with a baseball bat and yeah. knock him out.
We kind of skipped the whole zombie cast because he said I brained him.
Oh yeah.
And as what's her name, the Harry Potter girl, was all like, it's obviously a zombie apocalypse.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
but yeah, so he brains him like
and,
a zombie.
And they tie him to a bed.
And then this cue is another of the greatest. It's not just a scene. It's like an entire
sequence.
It's the last. It's the finale of the movie. Really,
this is leading us to the end of the whole thing.
Yeah.
Like this scene is like maybe like what, like 17, 18 minutes left in the film.
20 minutes left.
Yeah. At most. Yeah.
20 minutes left easily, but they're going to do an exorcism on Jonah Hill, basically because they think the movie The Exorcism is quote a handbook.
They did their research, I'm sure.
Yeah. So they have two. Jay is standing on the bed with two kitchen tools. It looks like a spatula and maybe some like barbecue tongs tied together into a cross. Just going, the power of Christ compels you. The power of Christ compels you. Jonas is sitting there as a demon going, does it? Does it really? Am I compelled?
Really, Jay? Am I fucking compelled right now?
I don't
now?
Find this compelling. And he keeps going and going. He's like, oh, actually, that kind of stings a little bit. What are you doing? And things are getting wacky, a la Exorcist, where the bed's rising and everything's falling off the walls and everything. And Rogan finally pushes Jay over and is like, that's enough. You're fucking up here, whatever. Leads to them just having an all-out fight, which knocks over a candle on the on the nightstand, which ignites the bed on fire. But they don't know because they're still fighting. And they actually bust open, like, a panel in Franco's wall that's just filled with food. Like, he had a hidden reserve of food. And he's been sneaking Seth Rogen, like, two saltine crackers a day or something.
When they're eating the cheese earlier on the movie.
And he's got a 24 case of Coca-Cola.
Craig Robinson's just like, I would have sucked your dick for half a cracker. He's like, I don't want you to suck my dick. He's like, that's the point. I don't want to suck your dick either.
And at this point in the show today, I want everybody to play the drinking game, the Paint It Black drinking game, where every time Brian says Craig Ferguson instead of Craig Robinson, take a drink.
Craig Ferguson is awesome on a late night TV show, though.
I didn't know Craig Robinson was until Wednesday.
But he's not a burly black man. He wears a towel over his shoulder that
he's
says
an
Mr.
Irishman.
Robinson.
He's an Irishman.
He's a Scot.
Scottishman? Oh, whatever. Yeah. Same shit.
All right. Well, back to the movie. Now, you know, things have come to a head. Everything's blown up. They turn around. The house is on fire. Jonah's on fire. Jonah actually gets the first major character death.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, he's on fire.
We don't know if he dies.
But the house collapses on him while he's on fire, possessed by a demon. Yeah. And the demon actually goes, Jonah's not here now.
Yeah. Oh, that was great. Where he's like, Jonah, respond to us. Jonah's not here now. Demon? Yes.
So after the house falls down, that's just the end of Jonah.
And they're outside, and they're like, guys, we're outside the house now. And a flying demon descends on the car, the Prius.
I got my
of
Prius.
Course it's a Prius.
Yeah, it's such a fucking it would be such like the shitty car to have.
Yeah, it's like the Hollywood car. Yeah. And the demon's sitting there, and Craig Robinson gets the idea. He's being the hero. He's like, I'll distract the demon, you guys go for the car. And he starts waving the demon on, like, hey, come get me. And he's actually, demon goes after him, and he's charging headfirst into the demon.
Taunting
take
the
those
demon.
Panties off.
He's telling the demon he's going to rape him and shit.
But that's his battle cry.
Yeah,
take your panties off.
And they jump at each other and like right Rocky III.
Before they collide in that Rocky III moment, blue beam of light takes Craig Robinson up to heaven, scaring away the demon. And they got the realization. We just have to be good people, and we'll be accepted into the good graces of heaven.
I love
which
the next part.
Seth Rogen and James Franco complimented each other for
and Jay Burrish was like, you can walk wherever you want to walk without your shirt on. Yeah. Dude, your laugh isn't bad. So.
The next 5 minutes are nothing but backhanded compliments that they obviously don't mean. And then they're like, why didn't it work?
Seth Rogen's like, come on. And then Jay's like, what, you expected us to go up already?
Yeah. Moments later, boom, they're hit by a truck. Like a van or what was it, a bus?
It was like a Winnebago slash ice cream truck.
Yeah.
Filled with outrageously dressed weirdos.
Yeah, they all get
Did you know the guy from Always Sunny, the brothers? I swear.
The McBoyles?
I swear I saw one of them. He was like, I'm going to rip your head off.
It's possible. I would cast them. I don't know. Cannibal weirdos.
I feel like they would have shown him again. They didn't show him again after that scene.
They get snatched up by all these like cannibal guys, yeah. Right? And then out of the Winnebago comes our villain.
Well, it's a slow pan up from the legs up, and you see as they're panning up that he's in a tattered tuxedo. And there's Danny McBride wearing a fleshy human skull as a headdress.
In gold.
And with a gimp. He's got a gimp. Don't forget the gimp.
No, you just see the doggy walker, and then he brings him out after that.
Now, this is one of the funniest moments in the movie. So, again, if you've listened this far and you haven't seen it, and you kind of want to see it, this is one of the big payoffs, I think. Earlier in the movie, while they're walking up to Franco's house, this is the beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
Rogan goes, it's a nice neighborhood, man. Like, Channing Tatum lives right over there. And Jay Baruchel's like, get off of fucking Channing Tatum. He's like, I think he's an attractive man.
This is the most beautiful neighborhood in Hollywood.
Meanwhile, now they're captured by the cannibals. Danny McBride is the leader of the cannibals. He's like, shit's going great for me, man. I got everything I want. Look at this guy. I fucked this guy's ass. And it's a dude in a Mexican wrestling mask with no pants on, presenting his ass to him, stroking his dick.
He's like, get off my dick. Get off my dick.
And he's like, you may know him. And the guy, the gimp pulls off his mask and it's Channing Tatum.
It's like, yo, G.I. Joe.
I got G.I. Joe fucking wants my dick.
That was one of the greatest moments ever. Because he's like, oh, hey, guys.
it's literally Channing Tatum.
And then the mask goes back on. He keeps stroking the dick. Stroking the dick. So at that point, Franco tries to pull the Craig Robinson. And he's like, all right, Seth, Jay, you guys run. I'll distract him. I can, you know, I'll sacrifice myself for you guys. They go running. He starts fighting off the cannibals. Excuse me, I got excited there. And right as they're about to get him, blue light, boom. Franco's being lifted off into heaven, but he's got to be Pete.
Tom Pete.
He starts flipping off McBride, cursing him out. He's like, suck my dick, Danny.
Suck my dick, McBride.
Flipping him off. He doesn't get 6 feet off the ground before the blue light's like, fuck that. Shuts up. Franco goes crumbling to the ground. And then you get the best line in the movie, which I just said. Yeah. You don't get to go to heaven, Franco. You were being petty.
You're being petty.
And Danny McBride bites off Franco's nose.
I know, it's crazy. It's insane, right?
I'm eating James Franco.
And then they all eat.
And then all the cannibals just descend upon him.
And that's a call to back to call the back. Beginning where he's like, where he talks about the end of the Pineapple
Express sequel. Yeah. He actually does get eaten by Danny McBride. Meanwhile, Jay and Seth, they escape. They hide under some shit. They're away from the cannibals at this point.
And then they see Satan.
And Satan himself, who's, what would you say, 40, 50 stories tall?
He's big.
He is the size of a skyscraper.
With a big swinging dick.
Big floppy dick.
Huge floppy dick.
And he looks exactly like the picture that they saw in the Bible where he's got the snakes coming out of his back and everything.
Well, the wild things are.
Sans dick.
Yeah.
Sans dick.
Sans floppy dick.
This thing's about to eat them. Like, Satan's about to...
Not the dick.
Personally.
The dick could.
The dick's fine. The dick's where it is. It's not erect. We should mention that, because that would be a terrible...
Well, the demon who took over Jonah Hill had an erect dick.
That demon had an erect...
A lot of blood flow.
Like 9 inches, like a Pringles can of dick.
It was a Pringles can.
Satan's not turned on at the moment.
No, Satan's just... dick is like, I would say, 3-4 stories.
Yeah.
But he's flaccid. He's not into the, you know... They don't
try to do his thing.
He's not laying pipe.
He can't penetrate them at that size.
No.
But he's going to eat them. And Jay passionately apologizes to Seth about everything he's ever done. I'm sorry about not telling you I was in town. You're my best friend. Yada, yada, yada.
She said sorry about being Canadian, but he didn't.
Missed opportunity. Boom, blue light. Starts carrying Jay away. And he won't have it. He grabs Seth by the hand. They're both being carried up into heaven. But right when they're just out of reach of Satan, they get weighed down too much and they start falling back down to earth. I guess because if you have a sinner with you, you can't fully ascend, right?
Makes sense.
And Seth Rogen does the obvious choice. You know, like...
he holds on for dear life.
Let me go, man. Let me go. Like, if you don't, we both die.
There's a Titanic moment where they start cueing the music.
They play the Whitney Houston song there. And
they played The Bodyguard.
Oh, really? I thought it was Titanic.
No, it was The Bodyguard.
That was The Bodyguard moment.
Yeah. He fucking lets go of it. Let's go.
Yeah, he drops Seth Rogen,
Seth Rogen drops himself.
Seth Rogen lets go.
Yeah.
Falls into Satan's mouth, and right before he hits like the gullet of Satan,
they put the high note on Whitney Houston's.
Blue light, boom, cutting Satan's dick right off.
Yeah, it cuts his dick off.
It cuts him in half and then cuts Satan's dick off. And to me, that was almost a sad moment because you see Satan like...
Satan grabs his penis.
Holding his severed dick going, no!
I got to say, God, can you so easily... There's billions of people on the planet. If it's that easy to cut Satan's dick off, that's rough for Satan. All right, like...
Hey, God's doing, I guess...
That's salvation of one person. There's billions that need salvation, I'm saying.
In this
like,
story, God's got his priorities crooked.
So they're like reverse, like free-falling up, and they're like high-fiving each other.
High-fiving themselves in the beam. They're holding each other's hands and spinning around.
Then the beams come together.
They get into the clouds, right?
One of my funniest things I just noticed the second time I watched it was that the shirts that they were wearing, clothes they were wearing, were just like silver and white when they got up there. Like Jay Baruchel the whole time was wearing some shirt of a shark with like a guy on top of it.
Yeah.
And it was, instead of like having that shirt, he was wearing, it was like a white and silver version of that shirt.
Yeah, it's the exact same thing. And even at the point I'm about to get to where they open the pearly gates open before him and Craig Robbins is standing there, he's still wearing a take your panties off shirt.
Yeah, but it's in white.
But it's in white. Yeah. And his towel, still got his towel. But it's like gold engraved.
Yeah.
It's funny.
Mr. Robinson.
I didn't notice any of that, but I did notice there's a giant orange like dot on the screen in the theater where we were watching it.
I noticed that too.
You noticed that too?
Oh, I didn't pick up on that.
I was like, the whole screen went, I'm like, oh, damn, this screen's messed up. Like, over there.
I didn't catch that. I'm kind of glad. That would have set
me back.
The
last 3 minutes of the movie.
Exactly. Yeah. And they all get halos. Now they're all angels.
And now we're in heaven.
And now they're in heaven, which looks awesome.
It's a big party.
There's bikini chicks everywhere. Everyone's drinking and smoking and having fun. It's funny that in heaven they, you know, condemn you for all, you know, they let you do all the things that they condemn them on earth for doing.
They find out you can get whatever
it's
you
like,
want.
There's wheat
in
heaven. It's like, why don't you tell me? And then a joint pops in his mouth.
Yeah.
Like,
and the best part is, oh, you think of anything you want.
Well, Seth Rogen starts with
what's the one thing Seth Rogen wants?
Seth Rogen, what's that thing called?
He gets a Segway. Yeah. A white Segway. I just wanted to ride one of these. Jay Baruchel makes a more weird wish.
The better wish, I think.
Where
most unexpected wish ever.
He makes his wish, and the Backstreet Boys show up.
And they play fucking Everybody.
Backstreet's everybody. Back. And everyone dances.
And there's a huge dance number to end the movie with, like, Rogan, Craig, and Jay. And the three good, basically the good people at the end.
The three good guys.
They all dance with the Backstreet Boys.
Nobody wished Franco to show up. Nobody wished any of the people in the party to show up.
No.
I understand Danny McBride not making it, but nobody wished for Jonah Hill before he turned evil.
I loved how well Danny McBride took to the fucking apocalypse. He's like the king of it.
Oh, he's the king of the cannibals. Yeah. He's wearing a throne of human flesh, like a crown of human flesh, I should say. But yeah, that's the movie, and it ends with the most happiest dance, synchronized dance party.
I was laughing hysterically over it. I thought that was so funny.
I was so like out of nowhere. It's funny because the second time I watched the movie, I saw they played the song early in the movie.
Yeah,
but the first time through, I had no idea that was coming.
It is kind of funny too to see the Backstreet Boys in their late 30s.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially when they're saying Backstreet's back, all right.
Like, but I will say kudos, boys. You don't look that bad.
Just AJ looks terrible.
That one guy looks like shit.
AJ.
The rest of them held up all right.
Yeah.
They look like normal older guys now.
So final thoughts.
Final thoughts. Brian, why don't you kick us off?
All right. As far as comedies go, I don't want to rate them on the same scale, I guess, as, you know, we just did Superman. But I'm going to give this... a 9 as far as comedies go.
Wow, strong.
I laughed from beginning to end. There's 1,000 quotable parts of the movie. The I'm still singing all the songs from the movie.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is one of the movies that when it comes out, either if I end up buying it or if it comes on HBO, whatever medium it comes out on, I'm going to watch it anytime it's on TV.
9 out of 10.
And this is for my comedies, though. Like, I can't, like, I would say you if there's one movie you have to see that's not like Superman this summer, go, as far as I've seen so far, just go see this movie. It'd make you laugh from beginning to end.
Yeah. Well, I would say as long as your sense of humor is our sense of humor.
If you're like, a male between 15 and 40, go see this.
If you like dick jokes, yes. If you like pot jokes, if you like jokes about coming, you're going to enjoy it.
Yes.
Justin?
I am so regretting my earlier ratings. It's like I gave The Hangover a 7.
You gave The Hangover like
it's like 8.
Like a 7 or 8.
Yeah, I gave Star Trek 8.5, right? I think. And I gave Hangover 7 or 7.5.
You gave Hangover like a ridiculously high score.
Okay, so didn't like about The Hangover was that there were no Hangover moments. There are so many Hangover moments in this movie. Like,
good point.
Like, there were just so many scenes where you just laugh for at least 30 seconds straight. You can't even catch what's going on after because you're just laughing.
Now, we saw this early in the day, and the theater was pretty empty.
Yeah,
because
we
were like
a couple people laughing. I was like, yeah.
No, but like I had to like stifle myself because I felt weird being the only guy just gut laughing.
I felt a little funny too, and I knew all the funny scenes. So like where I had laughed before comfortably, I kind of felt a little weird laughing. I still laughed anyway. Okay, so as a movie,
yeah,
I'm gonna give it an 8.5. As a comedy, I'm going to throw it a 9.5 as a comedy.
Wow, dude.
Like, for a comedy, in other words, like, in terms of, especially compared to what I gave The Hangover, like, if I could downgrade The Hangover at this point from...
Well, you should officially downgrade The Hangover.
Okay, I'll tell you what. Then we'll downgrade The Hangover to a 6.5.
Nice.
Okay. And we'll push this to a comedy 8.5.
I like your thinking here. Like, your thoughts
actually,
are...
Actually, hold on, wait. Downgrade The Hangover to a 6.0, this is 8.5. Comedy style, per se.
No, I like what you're going for, that you're evolving your thoughts as you're
kind of playing things. It's an 8 movie. 8 movie, 8.5 comedy. That's the way I want to put it.
Good.
And what about you, Pete?
I think that's fair. All right, like I said, I enjoyed the shit out of this. I did feel lagged a little bit at points, but it was very on track. The one thing that is affecting my rating is that it's my sense of humor. I don't know if it's everybody's sense of humor, but I don't think that's fair for me to take everyone into consideration when you see
about your particular.
This is not a movie like Superman, like Man of Steel, that I will go to my parents and go, oh, you got to see this fucking movie. This is a movie that I'll tell my sister, my brother, go see this.
Siblings.
People friends. Of similar age and mindset. I'm going to give this an 8 out of 10.
8 out of 10? All right, nice.
Like, what was the last of their movies that I thought was really enjoying? I'm trying. Pineapple Express?
To
like,
be
was that
fair,
was that the last one?
I actually liked Green Hornet.
I like Green Hornet too.
I'm alright with Green Hornet, but it wasn't that funny.
It's
it
not one of their
like,
movies, though.
I liked it as a movie.
That was written by the same two guys.
Really?
Seth Rogen and Adam Goldberg.
I liked it as
wrote
a movie,
well.
But not as a funny movie. I mean,
like, I think
are we
movies,
talking about like the guys who made Superbad or just like any of their.
They're
guys?
All the same writers, man. Really? I'm going with this writing team.
I like 30 Minutes or Less.
Oh, 30 Minutes or Less is good. Too.
I don't think they were involved.
They made their
movie. McBride.
I didn't like 30 Minutes
McBride
or Less.
McBride was in. Aziz, McBride, and Danny Schwartz, and Nick Schwartzen.
Yeah. I didn't like that as much as you did. I thought it was all right. I just thought it was like an hour. It was short.
It was short. Well, most of these movies are short.
But I mean, 2 hours. Like
I'm just saying, it didn't go anywhere. It was like too quick. It felt like an episode of TV. That was my complaint with that one. Kind of came and went too.
Anything that really like Knocked Up.
Yeah,
or
but
Superbad.
We look back at Knocked Up and Superbad and go, those are comedies.
Yeah,
those
exactly.
are long. You go 30 minutes or less, and my honest opinion right there was I didn't remember that.
I agree with that. It's the same thing with Pineapple Express. I love Pineapple Express, but it's like. You don't think of that as like a Superbad.
I still love that fucking movie.
I love it, but it just maybe doesn't hit the Superbad level.
No, Superbad is super good.
Yeah.
See what I did there?
Illustration.
So there you go, Brian. You give it a 9.5.
Did I say 9.5?
You gave 9. You give it 9.
You gave it 9.
And I gave it an 8.5, I guess.
8.5, and I gave it an 8. So we're all on the same page. We all enjoyed it.
Well worth
it. We walked out of that theater cracking up.
And this is
Rotten Tomatoes hit this. Rotten Tomatoes gave it like an 84 or something like that.
They're right up there.
I'm just like, I mean, you'll see the other podcast we did, but I am shocked that Rotten Tomatoes gave Superman such a low score. And this, while you figure that it shouldn't be such a good critically acclaimed movie, gave such a low high score. Yeah,
the further we go into the movie reviews, and I used to swear by Rotten Tomatoes, but the further we get into this, the less I'm starting to trust it.
I like the viewer scores. The viewer scores kind of.
No, I don't trust the viewer scores because I disagree with those more.
They're
more
always
often.
Higher, first of all. I mean,
they're always higher because who's viewer scoring it but the people who really.
Yeah, want to.
Like, I don't know. Like
selection bias, yeah.
Some of these movies that get the high viewer scores, they tend to be like the really shitty movies that people get defensive over. And I don't know. I tend to disagree with the critics so much lately that I don't know. I think I might be done with the Rotten Tomatoes thing. Because especially after the Man of Steel thing where they complained about everything that I loved. And after, even
it's
after...
still early, though. Those are pre-release critics. Maybe, like...
But still, everything they said they didn't like was everything that I was like,
they're
that's
exactly
what I love.
They're fucking nuts.
And even this, they were like, well, the movie's funny if you didn't, you know, if you like these guys. But we're going to call it a day here. We're going to wrap it up. That's a... I don't know what any of this
can means. Can we do the, like...
We're just jerking off on Danny you, bro. McBride. We're doing Danny McBride.
Can we do the Danny McBride
apparently,
like, in vocalness, or we can't do
apparently
it?
Apparently, these guys want to go come all over each other or something. So we're going to call it a day here. Go see This Is the End. We loved it. My name is Pete Berg for Brian Katz and Justin Herman. And I don't know. I can't think of anything clever.
Take your panties off.
Take your panties off.